We're looking for people who have been blessed by this free podcast and our free daily marriage prayer emails and who want to help be a blessing to others. Creating and hosting this podcast and sending out our daily emails do incur a financial cost. And we want to invite you to join our faithful patron team to help financially support these resources so that they can remain free for all who need them. Please join our patron team today and become one of the faithful financial supporters who desires to help bless thousands of marriages around the world. Your support will help us pay for the creation, hosting, and promotion of our podcast and daily emails. Thank you, and we hope to see you become a Marriage After God patron.
Why did God give us the ability to remember things? Memory is such a strange thing. Memory doesn't have any substance or form or physical presence, yet somehow it has an immediate and very present effect on our everyday reality. God gave us the ability to store memories so that these memories of the past would help us in the present. This is why God continually commanded the people of Israel to remember. Remember where they came from, remember that they were once slaves, remember that they once wandered in the wilderness, and most importantly, remember how God saved them and brought them through it all. To remember is to apply the lessons of the past to the circumstances of today. It is good to remember.
Hey, we're Aaron and Jennifer Smith, your hosts of the Marriage After God podcast. And today's episode is brought to you by our newest one-year marriage prayer devotional, The Marriage Gift. This one-year prayer devotional officially releases on October 17th, but you can pre-order today simply by visiting themarriagegift.com. We desire to see every marriage be a praying marriage. That is why we wrote this book. We want to invite you to pre-order your copy today and see prayer become a foundational aspect of your marriage. Do you ever find yourself not having the words to pray or know what to pray for when it comes to your spouse and your marriage? Do you feel nervous or uncomfortable praying with your spouse? Do you desire your prayer life to be more consistent and more vibrant? Do you want to pray for your marriage more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then please visit themarriagegift.com to pre-order your book today and give your marriage the gift you will love to open every day.
Hey everyone, we're back for another episode.
It's like my little fake drum.
Should be a fun one. The initial idea was just a kind of fun way to get you guys inspired and encouraged to be thinking about certain areas of your marriage.
Being reminded. Yeah. Marriages, especially as the years go on. I mean, we've been married almost 17 years now.
Yeah.
And my parents have been married, in their 40 years, yeah, or longer. And you can imagine, over the years, we can forget some stuff.
Sure. Some things we need to forget, which we'll talk about.
That's probably true.
But before we jump into all of that, is there anything new going on with you this week that you want to share? Anything that's encouraged you or?
My main focus lately has been on marketing the new book, just talking about it, preparing stuff, getting all the back end stuff done. And so that's what I've been doing. My head's been in that space.
That's awesome.
So I'm forgetting a lot of other things.
Something that was cool that just really touched my heart was a friend of ours. They had a baby recently and they're going through a bit of crisis with her health. And one of their family members reached out and said, hey, let's all, if whoever wants to join in a fast and prayer on a specific day. Mm-hmm. And everybody in the church was game. Like we all wanted to do it. And the morning of, I woke up and felt really encouraged. I was praying and I thought, how cool is it, Lord, that everybody's simultaneously praying specifically for this baby girl. Mm-hmm. And the Lord was like, I'm going to flip your perspective for a second. I'm using this baby girl to draw many hearts to me right now. Mm. And it was really cool. Both are important. And it shows how the body, like all the individual members of the body, work together for the good of the body. And it was just really beautiful.
Yeah. And how God can use even the littlest member, the weakest member, to open up all of our eyes, to bring us to our knees before Him, to draw us, like you said, to Himself.
Yeah. So super cool.
That was a good little thing you just shared. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Other than that, we're gearing up to start school again. And it was funny, I put some of the kids' newer school books and math and everything in their little boxes where we organize our homeschool stuff. And they've already jumped to it. And I feel like we haven't even really had a break in summer because we lingered with last year's like math and language arts and stuff. And so, they've only been off for a couple of weeks and they wanted to jump right back in it. I was like, you guys, we start next week. Just wait. They're excited though.
That's awesome. What's one of the big focuses you're going to focus on this year?
There's a couple of our kids who just aren't confident with reading. I feel like I've given them the tools and I feel like they can do it, but they're not quick or excited to jump into reading on their own. And so that's a big goal for me this year.
It's probably genetic because I wasn't very confident in my reading skills either.
I just need to bring some fun to it.
Unfortunately for me.
And then also I feel like with our older kids, like just really encouraging the independent learning where they can, areas of school that maybe they can show some initiative and just doing, because I know that they can.
I'm excited for this year. I think they're going to all grow a lot.
Mm. One aspect is we're switching Elliot to an online math curriculum, which I've never introduced anything like technology based with our kids. And so there was a part of you that was like, no, let's not do that. But we agreed that moving forward, it's actually good because they live in a technology filled world to give them
healthy opportunities to experience technology in a safe way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a new aspect to me as a teacher. Like, I don't know how it's going to go because I've never done that before. So just interesting stuff.
That's good. Something that I know a lot of our listeners probably know this because we mentioned in the past, but we do home church. So we don't go to a regular building like a lot of people do, which is totally fine also, but we do it in our homes. And we've been hosting church, how many months? 3 months?
Yeah, we did throughout the summer.
Yeah, 3 months in our home. And one cool aspect of our home church is we take turns. We'll switch houses for periods of time. And we just got done doing that. So we're going to be switching to someone else's house. But it's a really cool thing that we get to do because everyone in the church, not everyone, but many people in the church get opportunities to serve the church in that way.
Yeah, it's a little bit layered in serving and showing hospitality and preparing ahead of time and providing that space for everyone. It just takes a lot. So we're always grateful when things get switched up a little bit. But we had fun. Like, it's been fun here.
Uh-huh. Yep.
It's good for the kids, too. They wake up early and they put all the chairs out and our music binders and things like
that. Yeah, they get to help set church up.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
With us talking about church and for everyone listening, I just want to encourage you guys, like, we want to encourage you guys that church is such an integral part of our faith and being able to fellowship on a weekly, regular basis. I've just seen so much benefit, not only in our family and our life and the support, the encouragement, the prayer, like everything that it provides, but also when you're in fellowship and there's needs that people have and you're able to just jump right in because you know them, you've been walking with them, you see them regularly,
you love them.
And it's just it's a huge support system. And so if you're listening right now, and maybe you've been out for a while, you haven't been really connecting, we just want to encourage you to find a local community, local church that you can be participating in and fellowshipping with, because we all need each other.
I totally agree. I mean, it's also not just we should do it just because it's good for us, but God desires us and commands us as his people to be in fellowship with one another. So we should be looking, if you don't have a church, if you don't have a fellowship, to find one and to look for people who love God and love his word. And so, amen. The last thing I want to bring up before we get into the topic is the pre-launch for our new devotional is going really well. I just wanted to praise God for that.
Awesome.
We were in the top selling new releases on Amazon already for over a week, and it doesn't even come out until October. I just wanted to share with everyone, because anyone who's pre-ordered that's been listening to our podcast, you're one of the reasons they did that. So I just want to thank you. Yeah. God is so good. And if you haven't already pre-ordered the book, we want to, again, ask you to do that and participate in this book launch, not only to bless your marriage, but also to get the word out about this book, because the more people that pre-order this, the more that the ranking for the book gets better on Amazon and more people see it. So you can go to themarriagegift.com, which will take you straight to the book.
Okay, so let's jump into today's content.
Yeah, we wanted to mention how we just recorded a podcast with
Liz Bagwell from Rhythm Restoration. So that episode should be coming out soon, and we'll share it with you guys when it gets released. I love that she uses her background in science. She was in it for like 2 decades. And she mixes it with her faith. And as she shares on her podcast, like that's the way she's getting the message out. And I just love that.
Talking really about cool. how biology and science just confirms things what that we God believe has in his designed. Word. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. So when we were thinking about this episode, even though it was going to be a more lighthearted episode, I was like, oh, we should try and draw in some of the science for it. Cause
we're science professionals. We might as well. No, but we do love learning.
We do love learning, and we love that you guys love to listen to us. So you get to learn with us. we just, pulled a few things out that we were going to share with you guys today. So on top of the 20 things you should never forget in marriage, maybe you'll also retain some of this information for why? I don't know.
Maybe they'll remember what we're talking about with memory.
Yeah. Okay. So in the simplest of terms, memory is the way we store and retrieve information. Wikipedia says it's the retention of information over time for the purpose of influencing future action.
Which is kind of what I was talking about at the beginning of the episode, or what you were, I should say, is that's the purpose God designed memory into us.
Yeah. What we said was to remember is to apply the lessons of the past to the circumstances of today.
Mm-hmm. A simple example of that is, and we learned this as children, things that hurt us. So like fire burns.
Right.
You remember that for a long time. It's got a very visceral response in our body. Mm-hmm. And so our flesh learns real early, I should not touch fire because that does not feel good.
Right. So then Johns Hopkins Medicine says, according to scientists, memories are formed as a result of connections between neurons in the brain. New connections or synapses are formed each time a new activity is learned. The more a person participates in a particular activity, the stronger the synapses and associated memories tied to the activity become.
Which, that's a good reminder and a warning. The kinds of things that we do over and over again.
Right.
They become things that our minds remember. They call them neural pathways. And the more that pathway is trampled on, the easier that pathway is to walk. Mm-hmm. There's a book I read a long time ago that talked about this for a specific subject, but doing things over and over again is a very powerful way of remembering something. It could be good and bad.
Yeah. So for a good example, I mean, this is just really simple, but everybody will probably have a memory flood them right now. But just think of grandma's house. Oh. Everybody going to grandma's house has that memory of like what it looked like, what
that
it felt like,
candy.
Or that blue carpet or the way it smelled. I don't know. Mm-hmm. The things that you did with grandma when you visited.
My grandpa had a very specific cologne. I think it was Stetson.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the only one he ever wore. So he always smelled like Stetson.
See? So our memories are very, very interesting. As I was doing a little bit of research for this episode too, of just how the science community has tried to, in a way, dissect, okay, what is memory, and then define it. It still seems like such a mysterious thing. It's kind of like when I think about a computer, like how is a machine doing all of this, what you see visually, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of strange.
I was thinking the same thing, that even though they can explain maybe how it works, like, oh, it's neurons being formed, but I don't think they can still understand how our brain is actually storing. Cause like we can all have like images and we can remember smells and sounds, and where does that exist? How does that exist in the neurons in our brain?
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But as they try to grasp for how exactly it all works, they have defined a few things for us. So I thought I would just share what some of these things are. So working memory is that short-term, smaller capacity of recalling information. Okay. It's kind of what helps you make a quick decision or make a behavior, choose a behavior.
Okay.
Explicit memory is the more long-term recollection or awareness through associations. So those are kind of like the two main, like what memory is. And then they break it down even further. So there's episodic memory, which is your kind of everyday experiences, what it, you know, you remember what your house is like or where you put things.
Like in the middle of the night when it's pitch black in my room, I can walk from my side of my bed all the way to the bathroom and not hit any walls.
Well, I have.
And it's pitch black.
But yes, I can reach from my phone in one take and grab it.
Oh, there you go.
And then semantic memory are like, think of like fact flashcards, general knowledge.
Yeah, this one's flashcards is not a, I'm not good at that.
You actually are. This is like, you know, all those random bits of information. Like,
is that what this would be count as?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Like how many bones the human body has. Yeah, those kinds of like
that one.
No, but you do know a lot of facts because you're that yes, guy at the
party. That's a hard one.
You're the guy at the party where you'll be in a conversation with someone and you just start spewing.
If it's
facts.
About like a movie, maybe
movie quotes.
Yeah, or I do a good job of remembering useless facts.
Yeah,
I have a lot of storage for that.
Yeah. Well, that would be there. So then procedural memory is how we do things. So the mm-hmm. procedure of it, playing a guitar, you know, something like that, riding a bike. And then sensory memory, which is
sight, sound,
yeah. smell, touch, taste, all of that.
Okay.
So
when I say I have a bad memory, really, I just have parts of my memory that are bad. Like I'm looking at these, I'm like, okay, some of these I'm not that great with, like explicit memory.
Yeah.
Yeah. The long-term recollection of things I'm not
I
good
wish
at.
That I was better, but that's one of the reasons we wanted to do this episode is because I think we all are aware of how our memory can be good or bad. And mm-hmm. for many of us, we probably just need to work on it a little bit, which is the encouragement that we actually can help our memory. This one vlogger I was watching was saying, you know, if you're healthy and you get good rest and sleep, which is huge for memory and the way that our brains process information, mm-hmm. Eating good brain foods, challenging our brain to work to remember.
So like
repetition,
working that muscle out.
Yeah, it's like a muscle. It creates those neural pathways, which you already mentioned. And it can be made stronger. So the encouragement today for all of us listening is we just wanted to inspire each other to work better at having a good memory because, and we'll talk about it in a minute, there are things, especially in marriage, that we need to remember. So before we get there, why do we forget? Why are there things that we forget?
That's as hard as it is for me to explain how we even remember things. Why we might forget those things.
Where does it go?
I don't know.
Some things that I really want to remember, like even just some silly, but like lyrics to a song. I'm like, so sometimes they stick like glue, like first time right away. Other times I'm like, I can't.
See, song lyrics, like things like that, I would say I've never been good at it, but I also don't care.
Yeah. Well, I think caring is a big part of why we forget things.
Yeah. Is there a initial desire of like, oh, I want to be good at this thing
yeah.
or I enjoy this thing or I want to recall this for the future. So people that, you know, work in specific careers or fields.
Like the medical field.
They focus yeah. on this one thing because they want to be the best at it. So they start retaining things in that area. And I would imagine they probably forget other things that have nothing to do with that.
It's like your brain lets go of the non-essential.
Yeah.
In a way to make room. Yeah. Okay. So do you think that there is, that our memory is unlimited or that there is a capacity?
Well, mine's very limited. But
I don't think that's true, Aaron.
I think God's pretty incredible and he's made our brains to be miraculous. Mm. I mean, there's people that have, there's a word for it in here. I can't see it on the note. Oh, is it hyperthymesia?
Hyperthymesia.
They have perfect recollection.
Yeah, but okay. So that is when somebody can recall something like perfectly.
So there's some people's brains.
Like everything, every experience, every fact, everything.
They can hold it all.
Yeah.
So I would imagine this probably, our brains are probably capable of remembering quite a bit.
So I think that's true, but can we just talk about there are people in the world that have this condition, hyperthymesia, but I think it would be more of a curse. I mean, as far as like we want good memory, but we don't want to remember everything because think about it. There's mm-hmm. there's even traumatic or, you know, mm-hmm. hard situations that you've experienced. Let's say, you know, you've forgiven someone who's hurt you. We tend to be able to forget.
Yeah.
What has happened, but for someone who can't, like that would be really hard.
Well, a thought I just had is we were just reading Genesis 1 to the kids this morning, and we were talking about how man is made in God's image, and God is eternal. And it even talks about how the amount of thoughts he has towards us, mm-hmm. that we don't know, and that we've been in his mind from even before we were born. So if you think about, so we're made in his image, he's made us able to have memory. I mean, he has eternal knowledge. Mm-hmm. Is it memory or is it just a constant state of knowing? But he knows all and he remembers all and then later on he forgets our sin. He does not see it anymore, which is an amazing concept to think that God, the creator who has all knowledge, all memory, he knows all this stuff, will let go of some of that intentionally so that we can have a relationship with him through Christ. Listen to what it says in Jeremiah 31:34. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sins no more.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So he's choosing to forget our sins in Christ, which is amazing.
When we were doing this, the notes for this episode, there was two movies that stood out to me. One of them was Inside Out, which...
the Pixar animated film?
Yeah, I thought that was a really creative way to kind of put in picture form an explanation of how the mind works for kids. Like, I don't know. Did you like that movie?
I loved it.
I thought it was really cool. And then the other one was, remember in Frozen 2? Everyone's like, no, don't say that. when Olaf is talking about how water has memory. And I just thought that was really funny. And then the whole time me and my kids were talking about it. Mom, does water actually have memory?
We're like, we don't know.
Anyways, has nothing to do with what we're talking about today. But here we go. Okay, so we were talking about, why do we forget? So if you guys want the scientific terms, there's three different ways we forget things. The first one is passive oblivescence.
So like obliviousness? Like
it's just the fading of information. Hmm. It's just like, I don't know where it went. I can't recall it. There's one called targeted forgetting, which is when, so already mentioned, but at night when you get rest, like our brains are processing all the information that we gathered that day. And it's basically throwing out for us or purging the information that it thinks we don't need.
Man, how does our brain decide what that is?
I don't know. And then the third one is motivated forgetting, which you kind of just brought up with the Lord in this very intentional, I'm going to forget this. I'm not going to remember it anymore. And for us, like intentionally suppressing information helps us to specifically regulate emotions tied to those things. So
suppressing bad memories. Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about that anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
So those are the three ways we forget things, in case you guys ever wanted to know.
That's crazy. So I mentioned how I have a bad memory, but you keep telling me I don't have a bad memory.
I'm sure everybody gets frustrated with their inability to remember things at times, but I think overall you actually do have a very sharp memory.
There's certain kinds of certain kinds of memories I'm better at. Like for some reason, I don't have a great long-term memory, like from my past as a child. Not that I think I'm suppressing anything on purpose. I just think I haven't remembered a lot of stuff. Mm. But you're right. There's other kinds of things that I'm good at remembering, like facts and different ideas and concepts and a lot of biblical stuff. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of that's stuck with me for some reason.
I will say that because I've had the opportunity to do interviews with you or like talking to other people, just meeting new people, your timeline doesn't always add up. Dates of things or when things happened.
And I don't know why that is. Maybe because my memory like compresses everything much.
I've been in a conversation with you where like we're rolling through like what the next year is going to look like. And it'll be like September. And you're like, so what's next month? January? And I'm like, what?
I don't have enough room in my mind for all this information.
It's useless.
About normal things.
It's just funny.
So this is a good episode for me to be thinking about.
Pay attention, Aaron.
Because things like simple things like my kids' birthdays. I know that sounds funny, but if you were to ask me what my kids' birthdays are on the spot, I'm going to stumble.
No, you're going to say, Jen, what was it?
I can be like, I think it's like in December. And I'll say, Wyatt, what day is your birthday? And all my kids know their birthdays.
But you just admitted like 5 minutes ago or something like that, maybe 20, I don't know, that there are some things we don't remember because we just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like there's parts of what we're talking about that you're like, well, I just haven't cared enough about those things?
Well, I... Yes, I think in some sense, not that I don't care about my... We're looking for people who have been blessed by this free podcast and our free daily marriage prayer emails and who want to help be a blessing to others. Creating and hosting this podcast and sending out our daily emails do incur a financial cost. And we want to invite you to join our faithful patron team to help financially support these resources so that they can remain free for all who need them. Please join our patron team today and become one of the faithful financial supporters who desires to help bless thousands of marriages around the world. Your support will help us pay for the creation, hosting, and promotion of our podcast and daily emails. Thank you, and we hope to see you become a Marriage After God patron. Kids' birthdays, I think it's like I haven't put the care into remembering them, storing those, yeah. Like, oh, I'm going to need that in the future.
Yeah.
But I have done that. So one of the things I do is I put all the birthdays in my calendar.
Right. And it tells you.
Which, well, the simple act of adding them in my calendar and then them coming up helps solidify those in my brain. Mm. But yeah, so I've tried. There's things like a long time ago, a friend of ours did this whole demonstration. We had a marriage ministry and there was probably, 50 leaders or so, 30 leaders or so. And he wanted to, at a leadership training, he wanted to show how we can all be good people who are good name rememberers. If you ever talk to someone, I used to say, I'm not good at remembering names.
Yeah.
Okay. I used to say that. And he started off with saying, stop saying you're not good at remembering names. And I'm like, oh, so I should just say something better. We talked about positive affirmations a few episodes ago. So I stopped saying immediately, I'm bad at saying, at remembering names. And I don't say that to people anymore. And what happens is you actually start to remember better when you tell yourself you can remember people's names.
Well, also you're intentional about trying to remember people's names. And so you'll immediately repeat their name or you'll say it a few times. Like I've seen you do this. So that's part of the working the muscle where you actually can work on your memory.
Yeah. He went around the room and he said every single person's name out of all 50 of us in a circle without skipping a beat. And I couldn't have named 2/3 of the room. Mm-hmm. Not that I knew them in passing, but I didn't have like close relationships with all those people. So he gave tips on like, repeat their name when you first meet them, say it several times in a sentence while you're talking to them. And then something I also practice is when it comes to names is even if I think I'm going to say their name wrong, I say it. And so what that does is that gets me in this confidence of like, oh no, I do know their name.
Yeah.
And then they're like, no, it's not that. I'm like, oh, but I was really close. Or I'll say like, that was actually the first name I was going to say, but I didn't say it because I wasn't confident. But so there's definitely ways we can get better at remembering things.
Well, should we jump into the list?
Yeah, this is, 20 things.
It's not an exhaustive list, but it is an interesting list. We came up for you. To share, just to get your minds wrapped around marriage and maybe things that you haven't been thinking about lately, or like maybe you can use this as like a time to evaluate, am I being intentional to remember these things and why is it important? So why don't you kick us off with the first one?
So definitely do not forget your anniversary. Is that a simple
Never.
One? Yeah. This seems funny, but this is a common thing. Not that we don't know about our anniversary, but life gets busy.
We're not paying attention.
Days pass, weeks pass. We're busy. Things are happening. You could be in a season of just being overwhelmed, a season of like lots of planning, a season of lots of execution. And then you're like, oh no, is my anniversary next week? And you're like, or you just forget altogether.
Why is it important to remember your anniversary?
Well, it's a conscious decision to remember this, to celebrate your anniversary.
Yeah,
it's remembering something important to your spouse. And I would even say, so one of the tips we give is like set an alarm, of course, like I did with my kids' birthdays.
Yeah.
But I would say set alarm a month in advance.
Yeah. To give yourself time to prepare.
Yeah. Cause then then you can schedule out a dinner. You can figure out flowers.
Cause really we're not saying don't forget your anniversary. We're saying don't forget to celebrate your anniversary, which is even more intentional of getting her those flowers or getting him that gift, you know, whatever it is. So.
Or making sure to like, there's that restaurant that you've been wanting to go to, but it's always booked and you're never booking it out far enough.
Get that babysitter.
Yeah.
Go have fun.
All the things.
Okay. Number two, don't forget to go the distance to gift your love to your spouse. So again, maybe not all the time.
Are you talking about giving gifts or gifting your love as in?
It could look different for everybody, but I think the message here is don't forget to love on them. And it could look like giving a gift. It could just look like a loving gesture, but loving them, loving on them.
remembering that you do love them.
Yeah.
I mean, again, this sounds simple, but we become ships that pass in the night sometimes. Yeah. We're doing our things and we forget.
And the reason we say go the distance is because I think sometimes even like the smaller gestures or the easy ones, it's like, okay, those are even on autopilot, you can do that. Say, mm-hmm. I love you in passing or whatever. But if you're going the distance, you're really putting some thoughtfulness to it. And I think we need that in marriage.
Yeah. Yeah. Number three, don't forget to kiss.
What?
Do we forget to kiss sometimes?
Yeah.
A lot, actually.
Yeah.
We actually talked about this, and I was like, we should like just do a challenge. We're going to kiss every day. And we like immediately forgot. We're like, wait, we looked at each other. It was like the next day or 2 days later. And we're like, oh, we didn't even do that. That thing we just said we were going to do.
I like your note here. It says, don't shoot straight for the prize without warming things up throughout the day.
Like, if you're married, you know what we're talking about.
You need to flirt.
Yeah. It's amazing how powerful this one thing can be. That throughout the day, taking a moment, there's challenges out there, like kiss for more than 3 seconds, kiss for 5 seconds, like have a real kiss, not just a peck on the lips, but yeah. Like make out with your wife, make out with your husband. It's an amazing thing amazing way to connect physically throughout the day. That's not necessarily sexual. I mean, yeah. It is sexual, but it's not.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
So number four would be, don't forget to affirm each other often. I mean, we all need it.
And if you want to learn about affirmation, go back a few episodes ago and listen to our episode on affirmation.
Do it. Give that encouragement. Yeah. Send that verse. Send that text.
Write a letter.
Call them. But we all need that affirmation. We all struggle with the temptation to have insecurities, doubts, frustrations, and we need to be encouraged on a daily basis. So don't forget to do that for each other.
Number five, don't forget your spouse does not exist just to serve you.
But that's why I got married.
Yeah, they're not there like, oh, my wife needs to just be making me happy, needs to be serving me all the time. My husband needs to be just, that's not what your spouse is there for.
Yeah.
That's a part of it. Serving you is definitely a part of their role as your spouse.
I'm going to add to this one just because for me, like I know that I struggle with this, that it's not a matter of you serving me per se, but it is.
Love me serving you.
I do love you serving me, but there's also just this overall codependency on you that like, if you want to hang out with your guy friends, I get this. Well, why don't you want to hang out with me? Why don't you come work from home? Why don't you be close to me? Like this constant need for your presence, your affection, your
help.
Mm-hmm. It's all of it. So it's not just even serving. It's just all of it.
So I put I put some notes here. They're your friend. They're your partner. They're your lover. They're your helper, your teammate.
Yeah.
Like all of these things.
But they also are an individual. And so I think we should be mindful of how we are,
being thoughtful of their personhood.
Thank you.
Their humanity.
I can't get this out.
What do they need?
Yeah. Yeah. Thinking about the other person. That's good. Okay. Number six, don't forget you are still dating. Just because you're married doesn't mean that you're off the hook.
No,
here.
Dating only happened while we were dating.
I did love dating you. That was fun.
But being married is still fun.
Couples don't like to be on autopilot or feel like they're roommates. We kind of already mentioned that. But if you need to schedule a date night, if you need to make it more routine just to be familiar with that and remember it, do that if you need to. But don't forget that you guys are still dating and you need that time together.
Mm-hmm. Number seven, don't forget your spouse has weaknesses and breaking points.
So that's a good one.
Like, I mean, for husbands specifically, the Bible tells us that our wives are fragile, that they are like fine china, that they're the Bible says the weaker vessel. And it's not putting them beneath us. What that's doing is it is explaining that they have weaknesses. They are fragile and that we need to handle them with care.
Mm-hmm.
And so remembering, and husbands too, have as men, we have emotional breaking points. Mm-hmm. We have mental breaking points. Not that we're having emotional breakdowns and mental breakdowns, but some people actually do. But recognizing that we have
we're not superhuman.
Yeah, we can't handle everything all the time and do all of the things perfectly. So just remember that your spouse, that they have weaknesses and breaking points.
And I'd love to add, I keep adding notes, sorry, making this an even longer list, but In with this one, if your spouse has communicated to you that they are at a breaking point or they are feeling emotional or sensitive for whatever reason, and maybe that they told you that and now we're on the next day, like, don't forget, like, remember that they just told you that, because you might start the day off feeling great and they're still stuck in this low place. And if you forget, you're going to meet them in that place of tension. I'm saying this because it's happened to us and it happened recently.
Never.
Where I was feeling down and in a hard place, and I had communicated that to you. And then the next day there was a moment
just
where you
move on like life's normal.
Move on like life's normal. And I felt rushed and frustrated over the way that you had communicated with me. And I could have walked with you in a little bit better grace and
understanding. But you have weaknesses.
But I have weaknesses. And so I guess my note here is just that when your spouse does communicate, or you just see it, like, remember that it doesn't just go away in a day. Mm-hmm. It sometimes it takes time. So I hope I
agree.
Explain that well. I'm sorry.
Number 8, don't forget the plans they made.
This is huge. Well, because I don't know if this is like a husband and wife thing, you know, like everyone can relate to this, but I'll plan something and I'll share, hey, this thing's coming up. Hey, this thing's coming up. Hey, this thing's here.
Well, sometimes you don't share the plan.
That's true.
I find out the day of the plan, so that doesn't count. But there are times that you do tell me.
I think we both do it to each other.
But just not planning over each other, yeah. Being thoughtful, like, oh, I think something happened. Again, having a family calendar.
Well, we finally had to, because we were doing this to each other, actually.
Yeah, you had your own calendar. I had my own calendar. I was like, no, this is happening today. You're like, nope, this is happening today.
I remember this. Okay.
Double booking our families.
Yeah. Which I've been getting more and more, like, you know, when ads or, you know, Instagram suggests things to you, or Facebook suggests things to you. There's this company out there that makes like a family calendar that sits on your counter, and it's all digital, like digitized. But it's pretty cool. I don't know what it's called.
Okay.
It exists.
But now everyone listening to this is going to start getting that ad on their Facebook. So you're welcome. Okay. Number nine.
Don't forget to follow through, because your word is part of integrity. You're either walking in it or you're choosing not to. And this is a big deal in marriage, because we hurt each other when we don't follow through with what we say we're going to do.
This is a big deal in parenting.
Yeah.
How many times do we tell our kids, oh, tomorrow night for something? Mm-hmm. Our kids are always like, will you snuggle me? Like every night they want us to snuggle. We're like, well, we can't tonight. They're like, will you do it tomorrow? If you tell them yes, like, make sure you follow through that. Okay. Number 10, don't forget the boundaries.
Like any boundaries, all boundaries?
All boundaries.
Everything.
Yeah.
So social media, dealing with the opposite sex, in-laws.
Money. Yeah. Whatever boundaries you guys have set, whatever boundaries the word has set, like, you know, remember those boundaries.
And this will protect your marriage if you walk in.
That's what boundaries are for.
Yeah.
Like, can you go to the zoo? Do you go over the boundaries?
No.
Into the lion's cage?
But I've thought about it now.
Well, a lot of people have, and there's lots of videos about that. But boundaries, they're literally meant for, they're to show what's your territory and to keep you safe from outside that territory. Yeah.
Number 11, don't forget to walk spiritually together. It's not just going to happen magically. You have to be doing it, and you have to be checking in on each other. Ask each other, have you been reading the word? Have you been digging in? What have you been learning? What has God been teaching you? And prayer is a part of that. Do you want to pray together? Have you been praying? You know, what's that like? So
that's a major one. That should have been number one. Number 12, don't forget what attracted you to each other. This is a big one.
It's good. What attracted you to each other, like back then, like when you said I do, but also
what attracts you to each other now?
Yeah, because things change. I'll say develop over time.
Like, are you saying we get older and we change?
Our character gets even stronger and better.
Sometimes we change for the better. Sometimes we change for the worse. But,
no, we're working on
it. But there's always something to look to. Always something to remember and say, oh, you know, I actually love this.
Reasons why we love each other.
Yeah.
Number 13, don't forget you already forgave them.
Hmm.
This is when you don't need to remember
everything. This is one of the things we should forget.
Yeah.
When the Bible says love keeps no record of wrongs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we say we forgive, because we should, we're commanded to, and yet we bring that thing up every single time, then did you really forgive? Mm-hmm. And this is a hard one for us. We've talked about this in the past, about forgiveness and repentance. Mm-hmm. And
I think if the Lord's willing to forgive us and remember our sins no more, we need to be able to walk like that in marriage.
And it's exactly what Jesus tells us to do, that we must forgive each other. So yeah. Number 14, don't forget you sin too.
Ouch. So when you're in that, you know, heated moment or feeling frustrated by your spouse because their sin has affected you and hurt you and hurt your marriage, just remember, you have sinned too.
Yeah, and we all do. And not that we should ever overlook sin because of that.
Sure.
Like, as in, like, don't say anything. But having that understanding, that base foundation of, like, well, you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, helps you forgive, helps you reconcile, helps you walk in truth and in love. So it's just, remember, we all have sin. What is it? First John says, if anyone says they do not have sin, they're a liar and the truth is not in them.
Yeah. So. Crazy. Okay. Number 15. I like this one. Don't forget to do things together and not just make plans separately. Because sometimes we can get in a mode of like, oh, here's a free pocket of time. I'm going to go do this thing over here. And then the next day, you know, she says, I'm going to take this time over here. And then eventually you guys realize
months have gone by and you only do things alone.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Doing things alone it could be necessary sometimes.
Sure.
There's times that I go watch a movie by myself, but I don't do that often.
Yeah.
But a lot of the stuff we do together.
Yeah.
And so
it's good. Number 16, don't forget to have fun
together.
I feel like I have to remind you of this one sometimes.
I do. I get like, I have to do this, especially with my kids, with you sometimes, like, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's genetic, the way I was raised.
Maybe some personalities.
But I have to like tell myself, like, no, have fun right now. Don't be a stick in the mud. That's what I have to tell myself.
So maybe you listening needed to hear that. Don't forget to have fun.
Number 17, don't forget to explore together. We've talked about this a lot.
Yeah.
I think it's one of our favorite things to do is explore an adventure together.
Well, and especially just to bring it back up, we've already mentioned like couples don't like to be on autopilot and it's so easy to find yourself there where you're just kind of going through the motions. If your week to week is feeling boring or tedious or monotonous, which by the way, in our notes, I had to look up how to spell it monotonous because it's not a word I use all the time. Oh man, I spelled it like four different ways.
Monotonous.
Anyways, here's your word. Ready? Go. Go have fun. Go explore. Go do something. This is your permission.
Okay, just a quick note. We lived in California for most of our lives, and most of California we never explored. So many things in California that people are like, oh, you ever seen? I'm like, no. Have you ever been? No.
We're kind of creatures of habit in the sense that like you kind of get in your routine of like school, work, friends, family.
We just went
neighborhood.
We just went for like the third or fourth time to Crater Lake here in Central Oregon. It's a national park. It's beautiful. And we took my parents and I talked to someone that has lived here their whole lives and has never been to Crater Lake. And it's only a couple hour drive and it's beautiful. And so wherever you're at, you have things around you to go explore and you're just not thinking about it.
Yeah.
Go explore something.
Go find what those things are.
Yeah. Be the one person that everyone's like, wow, you've done all those things in our area. You're like, oh yeah.
And why is it important? Because it draws you guys close together in an experience and you're forming that memory. You're making a memory together of something really spectacular. You know, maybe it's something natural that the Lord has made and you get to sit there and be and wonder about it. But maybe it's just a walk. Maybe it's just getting outside. Maybe for some of you, it's hard to get outside. I don't know. Mm.
That's good.
Yeah.
Number 18, we're almost done. Don't forget to say, I love you. Don't just assume they know. Tell them often. And the best way to tell someone you love them is by your actions. Show them all the time that you love them.
I think with that whole don't assume that they know is something where you end up regretting later if you know, something tragic happens or something. Like nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. Nobody's guaranteed the next 5 minutes and you just don't know. And so it's really important that we can be mindful of what it means to say, I love you and to say it often and to show it often.
So a quick little, if you don't mind me saying, we're actually working on some children's books around this topic.
If you've been following us and listening for a very long time, like it's been years in the like making.
Forever.
It took us a while to find an artist, and then we found her, and they're so beautiful, you guys. I'm so excited
to share
this.
They're almost done.
And then it took time to format, and then we moved, and that was a whole process, and so it got lost in the shuffle, but they're so close. I'm so excited.
And we're not going to say the name of the titles, but it's around this idea of how to say I love you.
Okay. Yeah. So that's coming. Where are we at? What number are we on?
19.
Don't forget your vows and the commitment that you made to each other. They're not just words. They were a declarative promise, and we should remember them often.
That's good. Last one, but not least. Don't forget to initiate also.
Yeah.
Two. T-O-O. Don't forget
Shouldn't
to initiate.
Be one-sided.
So that, if the husband or the wife, if one of you is always doing the initiation of sexual intimacy or
spiritual intimacy, prayer,
intimacy, or going on adventures or dating, if there's one of you that's like kind of doing the moving of that, first of all, kudos to you.
Good job.
But don't let them be the only one doing it.
Yeah, sure.
Initiate. Sure. Make it a mutual initiation where you desire to, as the word says, outdo one another in honor. Mm-hmm. That you're seeking to. You're like, you initiate. I'm gonna initiate more than you.
Yeah.
And then you guys do this good fight of initiation. You won't regret it. I promise.
We were just talking to the kids about the good fight of like, we don't want you guys to argue just for the sake of arguing or fighting, you know, but if you all have said, you mean outdo each other with kindness. And we're like, yes. So she gave an example of like,
You can go first.
No, you go first. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of arguing. I want to see.
Yeah, I would love that.
Okay. So that's the list of 20 things you should never forget in marriage, but there's one more. So bonus round. This is
bonus,
so important.
20 plus one.
You guys, don't forget to remember what God has done for the both of you on the cross and in your relationship. Mm. And then reminisce together and think about those things.
Just like he told the people of Israel.
Exactly.
He wanted them to remember his works for them.
Exactly.
His efforts in their life, mm-hmm. what he has done, because when you remember those things, you worship him and you thank him.
Amen. We hope more than anything that this was a fun episode to listen to, but also an encouraging one to not forget some very important things when it comes to our marriage relationships, and not just remember them, but to be intentional about them and do them. Okay, so to close out for the growth spurt, this is the last day of the month. Mm-hmm. And so in August, we've been talking about keeping your eyes on the prize and doting over each other. And so this is the last day to do that. If you guys want to do it, put it in right now.
Never do it again.
You can never do it again after this.
Yeah.
Just kidding. You have to do it every day because you're married and being married is awesome.
And don't forget to dote over each other.
So give, you know, a cute glance, a wink, an encouraging word. Whatever you want to let them know that they're
hand
your
the
special
back,
prize.
Hold their hand. I said a hand on the lower back.
Oh, yeah,
just
sure.
Just letting them know. You're
only
there.
If you're going to massage, because okay. I need
oh,
that.
Oh, a massage would be a good way to do this.
All right. So challenge is that's for you. Do you want to pray?
Yeah. Okay. Dear Lord, thank you for the gift of memory. Thank you for the ability to remember the important things and remember all that you have done for us. We pray we would grow in our memory. We pray it would grow stronger over time and never deteriorate. Lord, please help us to not just remember what is important, but also be willing to intentionally love each other well as we remember and pursue these things in marriage. We pray our marriage is blessed and that your will is done in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Desire to pray more for your spouse? Do you desire to pray more with your spouse? We understand that you may not know where to start, or maybe you feel uncomfortable praying, or maybe you don't know what to pray, or maybe you simply want to add something more to your current prayer life. This is why we wrote The Marriage Gift, 365 Prayers for Our Marriage. We desire that it would be used as a daily reminder and catalyst for you and your spouse to grow a dynamic and consistent prayer life together. This book is a compilation of 365 unique and powerful prayers that cover a range of diverse topics that every marriage deals with. You can read it alone, or ideally, you read it with your spouse. Also, we hope that the topics that are brought up in these prayers would become a starting point for deeper and more intimate conversations with your spouse and a desire to seek God on these matters together. Visit themarriagegift.com today and order your copy and give your marriage the greatest gift, powerful and meaningful prayer. Visit themarriagegift.com today.